Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother and humble servant in the Lord, Radio Reformer, I'm in studio to present to you Proposition Number 90. After today, we will only have 5 more propositions to go to complete our 95 thesis, a 95 thesis made tailor-made for what is going on in the African-American church. The number here for Mr. J. Delano Ellis to call is 646-564-9730, 646-564-9730. Proposition number 90. Proposition number 90, as we encourage all wayward clerics, all bewitched ministers to come out of her. The her being referred to in Revelation 18:4 is the heart of church. And yes, we want to encourage all those who have been hypnotized, all those who are under strong delusion, all those who have gone a-whoring after the Roman Catholic Church and her equally spiritual and filthy daughter, the Anglican Church, we want to encourage them to come out. Come out. For the Lord God who judges her is strong, and he will judge her and all those who are in bed with the harlot of Babylon. Proposition number 90 reads, like Cain's great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has produced an egotistical brood of spiritual sons and daughter who sing their own boastful praises. Let me read that to you again. Like Cain's great-great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops has produced. How has he produced them? Well, he's produced them by starting this organization called the Joint College of African American Bishops. A joint college, may I ask you, that seeks to walk in expensive robes all day long, who seeks to be attired with gold chains and gold rings, and who seeks to walk and strut around like peacocks, flashing and showcasing their plumes. And that out of the mouth of J. Delano Ellis. So, like Cain's great-great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop, who happens to be one of the 4 co-founders of the Joint College of African American Bishops, he is responsible for producing an egotistical brood of spiritual sons and daughters who sing their own boastful praises. Nobody will sing their praises, so they sing their own boastful praises. No one in the sane world will acknowledge them. No one in the Church of Christ will give them their so-called due. So they go about praising themselves. They go about singing to the choir as Lamech sang and preached to his choir. Our text for today, and we have several texts, but our foundational text comes to us out of the book of Genesis chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. It says in Genesis chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, and Lamech said unto his wives, this is what Lamech said. This is what he said unto who? Who was his audience? His 2 wives. Thus, we can say that Lamech was preaching to the choir. Everybody understands what that means. You are preaching to people who are sympathetic with you. You are preaching to people who are just as delusional as you are, who are drinking the Kool-Aid fast and furious as you are. And Lamech said unto the delusional Lamech, the out-of-his-mind Lamech, the nut job Lamech said unto his two nut job wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. Hearken unto me. Hearken, hearken, hearken. He says, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, who's greater than Cain, in my estimation, I'm greater than Cain. If he was avenged sevenfold, I, Lamech, who am much more than Cain, shall be avenged 70 and 7-fold. In other words, if there is a most wanted poster out there, on Cain, and it reads "Wanted, dead or alive, Cain, $7,000." There's a poster out there on me, says Lamech, and my reward is higher. The reward for me, dead or alive, is $77,000. You see, it's a boastful, it is an egotistical confession, it is an egotistical song. You see, that's what you produce. You thought Cain was bad. Well, Lamech is worse. He's egotistical. And this is my argument. Like Cain's great-great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops does not even realize what he started. Doesn't even realize it. For he has produced, like Cain, an egotistical brood of sons and daughters who sing. Because listen, nobody is singing about Lamech. His wives aren't singing about him. His sons and his daughters aren't singing about him. Tubal Cain is not singing about Lamech. Naamah, his other daughter, Jubal and Jabal, they're not singing about Lamech. It's Lamech singing about Lamech. It's about Lamech going around reading his own resume out loud so that everybody can hear. It's an egotistical brood, a boastful bunch, a highfalutin crowd. That's who it is. And when you look at the Joint of African American Bishops, they're all like little Lamechs running around. Going back to their little storefront churches, because that's what most of these members of the joint colleges of bishops have. Most of them have little fiefdoms, little empires made up of a few members. So they go back and they stand behind the pulpit every Sunday and they talk about how great they are. Meanwhile, you look into the audience, there's 30 chairs and 17 people in 30 chairs. Listen to me, ye wives of Lamech. Listen to me, members of this church. I'm big and bad. I'm special. Bow before me and kiss my Episcopal ring. If you think the Apostle Paul and Peter were outstanding, look at me. They're jackasses. It's an egotistical brood. Let's read. Genesis chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Lamech said unto his wives, he's only got two people listening. Now, he's got four kids, and he already has grandkids. But it doesn't say that his son, Jabal, because Ada, his wife, gave him a son named Jabal, who was a father as such as dwell in tents and have cattle. Jabal wasn't listening to his father's gibberish. Jabal had a brother named Jubal. He's the father of all those who handle the harp and the organ. He is the father of music, is this Jubal. Yet Jubal is not in the crowd. Jubal is not there to hear his father sing his own praises. Zilah, his second wife, gave him Tubal Cain. Tubal Cain, the blacksmith. Tubal Cain, the inventor of everything, of all kinds of weapons made out of brass and iron. Nor was Naamah there to hear her father sing his own praises. No, there's no mention of anybody being present other than the two wives that are forced by their husband. Forced. Maybe if they were left to their own free wills, they wouldn't even hear his egotistical praise themselves. Maybe he would just be singing to himself. But being captured by him and forced by him, they must hear. So he's preaching, he's singing to two people. There's two people in the church, his two wives. His sons aren't there, his daughters aren't there, his grandchildren aren't there. Nobody follows this guy. He's a legend in his own mind, a legend. And he says, listen to me, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech, for I have slain a man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. What I want to focus on today in these two verses, and there's so much truth in verse 23 and 24, but we're just going to focus on the fact that this joint college, all it does, in consecrating new bishops, whether they're male or female, all it does, whether this joint college is producing a new generation of Jabals, a new generation of Jubals, a new generation of Tubal Cains, a new generation of Naamahs, it makes no difference whether the bishops are male or female. It makes no difference. They're all egotistical. Who sing like their father, their own praise. And the praise is boastful. It's boastful. If Cain has a most wanted sign, and it tops $7,000, mine will read $77,000. That in other words, I'm more important than Cain. I'm worth more than Cain. God will pay more for me than Cain. I'm really, if you thought Cain was an outlaw, I'm a thug and an outlaw and a gangster all rolled up into one. If you thought Cain was special, look at me. You see, my brothers and sisters, once you start on the road of pride, once you start on that road, it's a slippery slope. Your head just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. You start with this disease and you wind up with delusions of grandeur, delusions. You're out of your mind, really out of your mind. There's only two people listening to you. There's only two people, and they really don't. I'm sure that Lamech's wives really didn't care. They were forced to care. Just like when the bishop stands up every Sunday in that pulpit and he starts talking about his vision. This is my vision. Nobody cares. I got news for you, buddy. I got news for you. I got news for your sister. Nobody cares about your vision. They're delusions of grandeur. Nobody cares. Nobody's paying any attention other than the people that are forced to sit there in that little storefront church every Sunday watching you stand up there with all of those fancy clothes and all that jewelry, and you're in a storefront, you're in a little can church. In a little box church, a little rectangle, in a little shoebox church. That's what you're into. A church that was formerly a pet shop. You can still smell the animals there. You can smell the hamsters. You can smell the rabbits. You can smell the dogs. You can smell the pet. It used to be a pet shop, your little storefront there, your little storefront cathedral. come to my church. It's the Golden Cathedral. And you go there, and it's a storefront. Oh, I thought you had a cathedral. Do you know what the word cathedral means? Have you seen the cathedral? Maybe you should take a little trip to Europe and really get a look at what is a cathedral. But they got a little storefront. It's a little Mickey Mouse makeshift hole in the wall, a little hole in the wall. And right next to the cathedral, right next to the Royal Cathedral, is a fast food Chinese takeout. You're in church, and the bishop is preaching, and you say, I can't wait for the bishop to finish his egotistical speech here so I can get me some fried rice and some lo mein. I mean, you're sitting there in church, and you're right next to the Chinese takeout, another little storefront, another little hole in the wall. Meanwhile, you come into the Golden Cathedral. And there is the bishop. There is the bishop up there on that little platform stage. I mean, he only fits up there. I mean, it's a storefront. With his big head, he's the only one who fits on that tiny platform. But he gets up every Sunday, and he will make these boasts. He'll make these boasts because that's what the Joint College of African American Bishops is turning out. I've seen it firsthand. I know what I'm talking about. And this is all Jay Delano Ellis is doing, and we lay the blame at the feet of the other co-founders as well. We lay the feet. We lay it at their feet. They're to blame. And God will hold them responsible for what they've done. God will hold them responsible. Now. Here you have the seed of the serpent, Lamech, because he is the seed of the serpent. He's a child of Satan, is this Lamech. And he's making all of these boastful claims. And yet, here you have the people of God following, verse 25 and 26. Here's a contrast analysis. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, you have the people of God. Now, here are the people of God. This is what real Pentecostals look like. When I was coming up in the church in the 1960s, the 70s, the 80s, As a child in the 60s, as a teenager in the 70s, as a young man in the 80s, I can tell you this is what characterizes what the Pentecostal church looked like. It says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, and Adam knew his wife Eve again, and she bare a son, and she called his name what? What does she call his name? His name was Seth, which means God's appointed one. Seth, here is God's appointed. This is the one God has chosen, appointed in the place of Abel, whom Cain slew. For God, she said, and she gives the interpretation of his name, she gives the commentary, if you will, on his name. For God, she said, for Elohim, she said, have appointed me another seed, another child, instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Abel was the righteous one. Cain was the wicked one. Cain deceived Abel and lured him into the woods, lured him into the countryside, and out of the gaze of all humans, Cain rose up and cut his brother's throat, Abel. Verse 26. Now let's read about what Seth did. Did Seth build a city? Did he build a city? Did he name it after himself? Did he name it after his son? No. This is what Seth built. He built a movement. He built a movement. And the movement was, let's start a move of God. Let's start a movement where now men will call upon God. He started a prayer movement. And to Seth and to him also there was born a son. And he called the name of this son not Enoch, as Cain did, but Enos. And the name Enos means means Enos, simply means the weak one, the fragile one. My son is weak. He's fragile. Why is he weak and fragile? Because we're all tainted by sin. Sin has weakened us. Sin has handicapped us. We're a handicapped bunch. Because that's what sinners do. They confess their true state. In other words, Seth was saying, my son and I, we're nothing special. We're nothing special. We're weak. We're fragile. We're like vapor. We're here today and gone a few seconds later. We're here now, but we disappear. Our life is short. We have no strength in and of ourselves. We're weak. And as a result, in order to gain some strength, Then men began to SOS and rely on the resume, on the Shem. The word Shem means resume. Then men began to call upon the resume. Listen, if there's a resume we're going to bank on, if there's someone who can do the job, if there's someone who can fix us, if there's someone who can bless us, if there's someone who can empower us, if there's someone who can edify us, if there's someone who can make us strong, it is the Lord. His resume says he can make us strong. We cannot make ourselves strong. We're nobody. We're weak. We're frail. We are unable. We are depraved. We have total depravity. Sin will never let us. Never let us arise. Sin will never let us arise. That's the confession of the true church. That's why the true church is on its face. That's why the church is humbling itself. That's again. If we go to 2 Chronicles, Mr. Ellis, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Here is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, Mr. Ellis. I'm sure this has rattled off your tongue a few times when you have been in proximity to God's people. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, If God's people, not the seed of the serpent who is egotistical, not the seed of the serpent who goes around boasting and singing its own praises. No. If my people, which are called by my name, for Seth and his son and men began to call upon the name of the Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, shall do what? Shall humble themselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, not prop themselves up, not talk themselves up, not resume themselves up, but if they shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, from their Cain ways and their Lamech ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Then it says, in contrast to Lamech, it says in verse 26 of Genesis 4, and to Seth, to the appointed one, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, E-N-O-S, not E-N-O-C-H, Enoch, but Enos. Enoch, E-N-O-C-H, speaks of someone who is strong, but Enos speaks of someone who is weak. He purposely named them the weak one, the frailed one, the one who won't make it unless he has divine assistance. And then, marking the birth of his son, then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. They began to humble themselves. They began to confess their sins. They began to paint a correct picture of themselves. We are totally depraved. We need God. In other words, they began to abase themselves. Abase. A-B-A-S-E. Now, let me take you to the Oxford Thesaurus. The number here, Mr. Ellis, I like to talk to you, sir. I like to talk to you. And the reason why I like to talk to you is because I need you to explain this audio. And I need you to tell me why you consider yourself worthy to have exalted titles. There are no exalted titles in the church. They're all servant titles. And Christ gave to the church apostles, that's a servant. Prophets, that's a servant. Evangelists, that's a servant. Pastors, that's a servant. Teachers, that's a servant. You have a fivefold ministry and fivefold servant ministry. Christ never gave the church the title of Pope. Christ never gave the church the title of Archbishop, Metropolitan. Christ never gave the church the title of Cardinal. Christ never gave the church the title of bishop or suffragan bishop. That's all man-made, sir. That's all man-made. That speaks to man's ego. That speaks of man's... When you go around calling yourself the Pope, the Father now. You're the Holy Father. You are trying to take the place of God. You have it. When you walk around as the Pope, calling yourself Your Eminence, Your Holiness, you are trying to take the place of God the Father. You are egotistical. You're full of pride. When you walk around calling yourself Cardinal or Archbishop Metropolitan, all these titles speak of self-exaltation. This is not of God. He gave, it says Christ gave unto his church, apostle servants, prophet servants, evangelist servants, pastor servants, teacher servants. Not Pope God, not Archbishop God, not Cardinal God, not Bishop God. Those are man-made titles to boast man's ego. Those titles, those worldly titles, came from the line of Lamech and not from the line of Seth. According, here is J. Delano Ellis, and he's questioning why there are some who dare walk around with exalted titles when they don't have the credentials. They don't have the right. They don't have the education to go around calling themselves by exalted titles. This is Lamech. This is a current-day Lamech, is J. Delano Ellis. The number here, sir, is 646-564-9730. 646-564-9730. Can you call, sir? Can you call? Are you up? Are you still in bed in your silk jammies? Can you get up, sir? Can you get up? Can you have your maid slip on the slippers and bring you the phone, sir, so we can talk? You think your maid can do that, sir? Here's J. Delano Ellis. Boasting. Singing his own praises. Here he is.
The Joint College of Bishops is a vision that grew out of a perceived need for preparing historically African-American men and women for episcopal office. The problem at the time and even now was the illegitimate manner in which bishops proliferated onto the church scene. They erupted on the scene motivated by personal desires for acclaim and having insufficient academic and or spiritual credentials. They had no record of ministerial formation to say nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles. Exalted titles. Exalted titles. Exalted titles. Exalted titles. To say nothing the right to be called by exalted titles. Of the right to be called by exalted titles. Of the right to be called by exalted titles. Right to be called by exalted titles. Nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles.
You see, Seth and his son Enos and all the other men who joined in prayer would never think of calling themselves by exalted titles. They would never approach God. They would never approach God and say, here I am, the Pope. Here I am, the Cardinal. Here I am, the Archbishop of Guam. Here I am, the Archbishop of Australia. No. Here I am, the Archbishop Metropolitan of the Joint College of African American Bishops. No. Seth and his son Enos, the appointed one, whose name is the appointed one, duly appointed by God, the appointed one and his son, who goes by the name Frailty, Weakness, and the other sons of Adam, would never approach God and say, here we are, your children with exalted titles. No. Their very name said we must approach God humbly. We must abase ourselves. We must what? We must reduce ourselves in the sight of God. Not exalt ourselves, but reduce ourselves. We cannot sing our own praises, for there's nothing to praise us about. We're sinners. As the great British preacher William Huntington used to write, and he was a man of letters, and he chose at the end of his name not to put any letters in front of his name and to only put two letters behind his name, and they would say, Reverend Dr. Huntington, what does the SS stand for? And he would say, Sinner Saved. Those were the letters he chose, Sinners. He was constantly abasing himself, saying to people, yes, I may be an educated man. Yes, I may be a man of letters, but these are the only letters you'll ever hear off my lips. Sinner Saved. But not J. Delano Ellis. Oh, no. He wants to have the right to call himself by exalted titles. He's another Lamech.
Nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles. Nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles. Nothing of the right to be called by exalted titles.
And since they don't meet his standards, he declares this to be wrong. Listen.
This was especially true in the African American Pentecostal tradition.
Because they believed in prayer, sir. They humbled themselves, sir. Nobody was chasing exalted titles. They were doing like Seth and Enos and the other sons of Adam. They were calling upon the name of the Lord for help. They were relying on his resume and his resume alone.
This is wrong on many levels. Primarily because the motivation for ministry must be drawn from a slavish commitment to the cause of Christ.
Now, this guy's talking out of the other side of his mouth. They're not slaves. They don't know what slavery is. They're black. They may be black. And down, you know, someone in their family was a slave, but this guy doesn't know about slavery. He doesn't know what it is to have a slavish commitment to the cause of Christ. This is gibberish. This is gibberish. This guy is a Lamech, singing his own praises. Well, here in the Oxford Thesaurus, this is what it means to be egocentric. And that's what, you see, people who sing their own praises, and the praises are boastful, they're egocentric. The word egocentric is an adjective. an adjective. It describes something. An adjective. Well, what does it mean? To be egocentric means to be self-centered. To be egocentric means to be an egomaniac, to constantly be thinking about self. It's a mental disease. It's a mental disorder when you're constantly thinking about yourself. To be egocentric is to be self-interested, is to be selfish, is to be self-seeking, self-absorbed, self-obsessed. It's to be narcissistic, is to be vain. It is to pursue self-importance. Ye wives of Lamech, listen to me. Listen to me. If you think Cain was a thug, if you think Cain was a gangster, if you think Cain was something special, I'll be more special than Cain. Watch me. Watch me. See, again, was Lamech singing about God? Was he singing the praises of God? Was he honoring the Lord? Was he praising the Creator, the Redeemer of man? No. The song is about him. And when you go to these churches today where these bishops reign like kings, everything is about the bishop. There's nothing in those services about Jesus. The bishop's birthday is coming up. The bishop's anniversary is coming up. The first lady. Everything is about the bishop and his wife and their kids. Not the bishop's vision. The bishop, well, I don't care about the bishop's vision. I care about what God's vision is. Who cares what this nut job wants to do? He's a nut. He's delusional. Calling this little storefront that on one side of the storefront, it smells like what it used to be, a pet shop. And then on the other side of the storefront, every time somebody opens the door to come in, you get a whiff of the Chinese restaurant next door. And he calls it the Golden Cathedral. And it's a storefront. It's a box. It's a shoe box. This is the vision. Shut up. Take off that monkey suit and sit yourself down. You're a moron. You're a mongoloid. You're a mental midget. Sit down. Take a good look at your surroundings. Look at where you're at. Take off that asinine Roman Catholic monkey suit. Take it off. It makes you look stupid. A black man dressed in Episcopal. Take that junk off. And get on your knees and start calling upon the name of the Lord. Egocentric. It means to be self-centered. And ego, to be egomaniacal. To only be thinking about one thing, and that's about you. To be self-interested, to be selfish, to be self-seeking, to be self-absorbed. To be self-obsessed, to be vain. And to be vain is just to be empty. You're hollow. There's nothing in you, nothing in your brain. You're just vain. You're full of self-importance, and you're narcissistic. You only have self-admiration. You only have self-regard. You exhibit self-love. You're conceited. You're boastful. This is a tragedy. I mean, this is the tragedy that you're nothing, but you're walking around thinking you're somebody just because you're a member of the Joint College of Asinine Hee-Hawing Bishops. That's my book, Jackass Church Bishops. The Joint College of Asinine Hee-Hawing Bishops. What a great book. Oh, I got it. Let me do a little boasting myself. Let me just pat myself on the back. That's a great book, wonderfully written, historically accurate, theologically indestructible. Well. What does it mean to abase yourself? When you say, "Let me abase myself," what does it mean to abase? Well, to abase means to humble, to humiliate yourself, to lower yourself. That's what it means. To bring yourself low. That's what God looks for. He looks for people to humble. He told Solomon, Solomon, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, if they shall abase themselves, if they will lower themselves, then I will heal their land. Then I'll do it. But not before. They've got to humble themselves like Seth and Enos. As it says here in Genesis 4:26, and to Seth and to him also was born a son, and he purposely called the name of his son Enos, to declare to God that all men born from Adam and Eve are sinful, are weak, and are frail. Then began men. With this theology, then began men with this kind of biblical theology to call upon the name of the Lord. They said, Lord, we need you. Lord, we need you more than ever. Lord, if you don't come to our aid, we'll be wiped out. You see, that's prayer. That's Pentecostalism. That's the kind of Pentecostalism I saw as a child in the 60s, as a teenager in the 70s, and as a young man starting out my family in the 80s. That's the kind of Pentecostalism, that's the kind of holiness church I grew up in, where everything was centered around us humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I know not this Pentecostalism that J. Delano Ellis has introduced via the Joint College of Asinine, Retarded, Mongoloid Bishops. I know not that Pentecostalism. I know not. In 2 Timothy, Mr. Ellis, the number here is 646-564-9730. In 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. This know also, Paul writes to the young pastor who he has left to run the church in Ephesus. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Men, it's the first thing he mentions. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Then they shall be, the second thing is they shall be covetous. Covetous, which means phileo agouros. They are fond. Phileo, to be fond, to be in love with. They are in love with silver. They love wealth. Is it any wonder that J. Delano Ellis is always talking about his little toys, his cars, his car that has, it looks like the cockpit of an engine. How many times have I played that audio here? How many times have I played where J. Delano Ellis says, recently, I've been enjoying my little toy, my car. You see, men shall be lovers of their own self. They'll spend much time in front of the mirror and having this makeover and making sure that the makeup is right and that the pantyhose are right and that the slippers are right and that all the robes and the plumes and the chains and the rings, they all match. It's a charm school that they're running there at the Joint College of African American Bishops, where they train men and women to be lovers of self. After loving self, they need the toys. They need the joy of my new toy. So they need silver. They're fond of silver. They're fond of money. And then they're lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, as it says in verse 4. It says they're traitors, heady, headstrong, high-minded. What are they? High-minded. High-minded. They think too highly of themselves. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness. J. Delano Ellis, when he marches in and the kids are carrying the cross and they carry the Bible elevated in the air. Oh, they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. From such we are recommended to turn away. we should turn away from these people. They are reprobate concerning the faith. You see, Paul recommended in Philippians, he says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, does the Apostle Paul say, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than ourselves. Look not every man to his own thing. In other words, don't be self-centered. Don't be egotistical. Don't be self-interested. Don't just think of taking care of yourself and the heck with everybody else. No, don't look every man to his own thing, but let every man also under things of other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind? What kind of mind did Christ have? What kind of mind did he have? Verse 8, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. That's the mind we ought to have, that he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Even the death of the cross. Paul speaks of Timothy in chapter 2, verse 19. He says, I trust in the Lord to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I may be of good cheer, of good comfort, when I know of your condition. For I have no man like-minded. I don't have a man that thinks like me. I don't have a man that thinks like Christ. Few men and women think like Jesus. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Why? Because in verse 21, he reveals the sin. For most ministers, for most all, he says, for all seek their own. They're self-seekers. They seek to advance their careers. They seek to become bishop. They seek a title. They seek exalted positions. All men seek their own things. They do not seek the things which are of Jesus. Therefore, I can only send Timothy to you because he's the only one who thinks like me and I think like Christ, and Christ humbled himself, and that's the mind you ought to have. No, but J. Delano Ellis is producing an egotistical brood of spiritual sons and daughters who sing their own praises, boastful praises at that. In 2 Peter chapter 2, referring to the false teachers, he says in verse 18, but when they speak great swelling words of vanity. What do these false teachers do? When they speak great swelling words of vanity. All they do is talk big, but deliver nothing. Verse 19 says, while they promise them liberty, while they promise them big things, they themselves, those who promise, those who speak in a vain manner, they themselves are servants of corruption. They themselves are servants of corruption. In the Epistle of Jude, verse 16, speaking of false teachers who mirror J. Delano Ellis, Jude says, these are murmurers, complainers. They walk after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, in order that they might have men's person in admiration because of advantage. In other words, they speak big words in order to get the attention of the crowd, in order to get the praise of men. Yes, yes, yes. That's the group, that's the spiritual offspring that J. Delano Ellis has produced. My brothers and sisters, there's nothing further to say concerning this proposition. Let me read it again as we close this broadcast. Like Cain's great-great-grandson Lamech, the Metropolitan Archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops, has produced an egotistical brood of spiritual sons and daughters who will sing their own boastful praises. And if you don't believe me, I can play hours and hours and hours and hours of ordination audio showing you how J. Delano Ellis teaches these newly consecrated bishops how to stand before their new church members now and how to receive their adulation, how to receive the people's hero worship, how to extend their hands to have people come up and kiss their rings, how not to allow people to hug them anymore because now they're bishops and they cannot be hugged, they cannot be touched by commoners. I can play hours and hours and hours of audio. But I'm leaving it for the debate because one day I hope to debate J. Delano Ellis. And I'm only going to keep the audio limited to a few things because I'm keeping the best stuff for the debates. Are you game, Mr. Ellis? Are you game? Are you game? Are you willing to debate Radio Reformer? Are you willing, sir, to debate me? Are you willing to open up your Hebrew interlinear Bible? Are you willing to open up your Greek interlinear Bible? Are you willing to go mano a mano and do a little bit of Latin sparring, sir? Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to do a little bit of church history for all the folk to hear? Are you willing, sir? I doubt it. Because the one thing your Episcopal robe has, which others do not have, is a yellow streak running from top to bottom. A yellow streak. An identification of a chicken. Of a man who talks big, uses vain words, swelling words, talks big, but delivers nothing. Well, saints, that'll do it for today. I will be back tomorrow, Thursday, with proposition number 91. God bless you. Love you in Jesus. Until tomorrow, take care.